Praise the Lord. We've been set free. Our chains are gone. And it's all through God's amazing grace. We certainly are getting something that we do not deserve. We deserve to go straight to the pit of hell and suffer and burn and be in torments all of our days. But God saw fit to come down here and die on the cross of Calvary that we might go free and set a bunch of trash and pay for the pardon of a bunch of trash like us. And that's really what we are. And I hope none of us in here think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But that's where we ought to be, is right in the middle of a dump someplace. And there ain't nothing good in us except the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just glad that he died for us. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a few seconds, or a few minutes. But I won't be long here. I'm going to be mindful of the time. I want to brag on the Lord for just a few minutes as I preach. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next three words is what I want to focus in on. God is faithful. And if there's ever been a day in my life that I've really found this out to be true, it's been this past year as we've been on deputation and traveling from state to state and city to city and Lord willing, from country to country. We found out that God is just that very thing. He's faithful, even when we don't think anything about it. You see, when we headed out on deputation about a year and 2 months ago, I had just left a federal job paying very good money and very good benefits, and we had everything that the world ever told us that we were supposed to have, only for God to call us to Australia and us to turn around and give all that stuff back, all that worldly possessions back, that's going to burn with the fervent heat one day anyways. And we left out on deputation with our church supporting us for $200 a month and a family of six. And you say, well, how did you have gas in your car? Well, Mark chapter 11, verse number 22 tells us, have faith in God. How do we eat? Well, we have faith in God. Amen. Well, how do we trust that our car was going to continue to run? Well, we have faith in God. And when our engine blew up and our Yukon out there, how did it get fixed? Well, we have faith in God. And how these people that got saved along the way, well, how did they do that? They had faith in God. And that's exactly what you're going to have in here today. You got a trial or a tribulation or something like that that you're going through. You got a medical problem. We just prayed about folks in there that had cancer. We had folks that have diabetes. We prayed about folks that just are in all kinds of different situations tonight. Well, you know how you're going to get through that thing? You're going to have some faith in God. You're going to have to practice Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. You got a wayward child in here that's went off into the far country, and he's wasted their substance with riotous living, and you're just praying and waiting for him to come back. Well, how are you going to have faith that they're going to come back? Well, you're going to have faith in God. You got some family that's got cancer and they're about to die and go off into eternity one day. Well, how are you going to have any peace of mind about yourself? Well, you're going to have faith that God is going to heal that cancer and take care of that thing. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have faith in God, because that is, if he's going to get healed, that's where the healing is going to come from. Well, there certainly ain't going to be some apostolic preacher come by and smack you on the forehead and the cancer's magically going to be gone like they claim. That ain't going to happen. You're going to have faith in God. And I want to just preach to you just for a few minutes on the faithfulness of God with His help. And let's pray. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here at Fellowship Baptist Church and the good things that's already went on here. And God, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. And Lord, I certainly don't take it for granted. And I pray, God, that you'd hide me behind the cross And Father, I pray that you'd strengthen me and give me the words to say. And God, I pray, Lord, that it might be a blessing to somebody. And God, I pray for the folks in here that might not know you for the pardon and forgiveness of their sins. God, I pray that today might be the day that they might put up that white flag of surrender and they might get gloriously born again, God, to never be the same creature ever again in their life. And Father, I just ask you, Father, if you would, to please work on the hearts of somebody in this church. God, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. God is faithful. Boy, I'm telling you, when I was looking at this message, I'm going to give you four quick points on some things that I've come to find out to be truth of how God's faithful. You guys want to hear them?
Go ahead.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, even if you didn't want to hear them, I'm still going to tell you. I'm going to tell you anyhow. First of all, God is faithful. And young people, you just remember this. God is faithful to give us roadblocks in our life. That keep us from falling into sin and sinning against God. Wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word. Is that how it is? I probably misspoke right there, but let me read it anyhow. Over here in Psalm. My mind gets going faster than my mouth sometimes. Brother, you ever had that problem? Mind gets going. Wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You want to find out how you cannot sin against God? Well, you just keep putting this Bible into your mind and into your heart and then meditate on what God has to say and take that thing for a literal fact of some things and seeing this Bible where some things where he doesn't want you to do and things that he does want you to do and some things he wants you to take off and then some things he wants you to put on. And things of that nature. Because listen, folks, we're in a fight, whether you realize it or not, we're in a fight against a spiritual wickedness in high places. And we need to take on and put the whole armor of God on because so we can stand in the evil day against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there is nothing more that the devil would like to do to get in the hearts and the minds of these young people and defile you so you get out of the fight already early in your life. There's nothing better that the devil would like to do to get inside the minds and the hearts of these young people. And folks, what we've forgotten to do as the older generation is we forgot to pray for our kids.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you right now, I graduated high school in 1995 and it was bad then, but I couldn't imagine going to a public school in this day and age. I'm telling you, there was dope and there was alcohol and there was fornication and all that stuff in the high school in 1995. Now you fast forward 20 years, I'm coming up on 20 years of graduation, and I can't imagine what you kids are going through in your local public school system. I'm telling you, it's bad. It's bad.
Amen.
And meanwhile, when we say it's bad, we just forget to pray for our youth. You know, and they're just a sitting duck, basically. But God's faithful to give us roadblocks in our life that we might not sin against God. You see, there comes a point in time in our lives where we're saved in here and we got the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of us. And right about the time where we get to do something completely stupid, you know what happens? God says, don't look at that. Don't touch that.
Amen.
Don't talk like that.
Good.
Don't hang around that. Don't drink that. Don't say that. Don't do that. And you know what we got to come to, what we have to come to realization to do, what we have to do and make a conscious effort to do is when God points that out in our lives, we have two decisions, and young people look at me and listen to me. You got two decisions that you're going to have to make. Am I going to take heed to what God said and turn around? Or am I going to do like 99% of the people that I know, and am I going to just kick this roadblock in, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do because ain't nobody going to tell me what to do? That's the two decisions you got to make.
Amen.
You either go through the roadblock or you get to the roadblock and you tell God, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. I'm going to turn around the other way, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. That's the two decisions you got to make. And we find some different things in the Bible, different instances and examples of how God gave a roadblock to two different men. One of them took heed to the roadblock, and he turned away. turned around, went the other direction. The other man, he didn't. And he busted on through that roadblock, and we'll find out what happened. And take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 20, and we'll get to the first one. And very quickly, I wrote this down fast, so we'll preach fast, you listen fast, and we'll get out of here fast. Genesis chapter 20, verse number 1, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, Abraham here, he came into the presence of Abimelech, the king of Gerar. And Abraham was afraid for his life. He said, man, if I tell Abimelech that she's my wife, he's probably going to kill me and he's going to take her anyways. So I'm going to take the coward's way out and I'm going to say, you know what, Abimelech, she's my sister. And that's a half-truth. That's a half-truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So Abimelech now took Sarah and he took her to be his wife. And he was going to do whatever he was going to do. And somebody came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Says, but God, I like that when I read, but God, that means there was going one way, but then, but God stepped in, and then we got a whole different situation, you see. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. And so God gave Abimelech this dream. He said, hey, listen, man, you're a dead man because the woman that you've taken right now, she is another man's wife, and you're getting ready to mess up really bad, and I'm going to kill you. Now, what would Abimelech have to do? Could he have just said, not now, God, I'm not listening to all that, and took her anyways? What would happen to him? Well, God killed him. But what did he do? He took heed to that roadblock. And he told Abraham, he said, what are you doing? Paraphrasing here. What are you trying to do to me? You told me she was your sister, but she's really your wife. Now you take your wife and you get out of here and I don't ever want to see you again. Well, he took heed to that roadblock. And he saved his life. And this is a very deep illustration right here, but listen. Take heed of God's roadblocks and save your life. You mess up and go through God's roadblocks, guess what? You ruin your life. That's what happens. You'll ruin your life. Another man was given a roadblock. Anybody remember reading about Pilate?
Yeah.
Well, who was his roadblock? who told him, have nothing to do with this just man? But you know what Pilate did? He said, well, that's my wife. I ain't got to listen to my wife. Bless God, I'm head of this house. I mean, she ain't going to tell me what to do. She ain't going to tell me nothing. I ain't listening to her. Well, guess what, Pilate? You should have listened. And you know what happened? Pilate blew right through that roadblock and prophecy was fulfilled and the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and he was buried and he rose again 3 days later. Hallelujah. But listen, Pilate messed up. Pilate blew right on through that roadblock and he didn't care what God had to say. And just like some of you young people don't care what God has to say, you're going to do what you want to do because you know better than anybody else. You know better than your mama. You know better than your daddy. You know better than the preacher. You know better than your Sunday school teacher. You know better than anybody else. And you're going to go do what you want to do. And that's just a fact. And you're not going to take heed to God's roadblock. You know what? You're going to ruin your life. I read in Luke chapter 15 about a young man who was the prodigal son. He wanted everything and he wanted it right now. Daddy, give me everything that I've got coming to me. You know what? I don't like your rules. I don't like your decisions that you make. I don't like this stinking house. I don't like the food mama cooks. I can do whatever I want to do and I can do it better than you can do, Daddy. Give me everything I got coming to me. And he got it. His daddy said, there you go. Here it is, big boy. Here's what you got coming to you. He's going to turn 18 and he was going to bounce. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. You know what happened? He got his stuff and he bounced. You know what happened? He bounced all the way to the hog pen.
Right. Amen.
Because he took his substance and he wasted it with riotous living.
And then when there became a famine in the land, you know what he wanted? He wanted something to drink. He wanted something to eat. He wanted somewhere nice to sleep. He wanted some air conditioning. He wanted some heat in the cold. But you know what? He had wasted his substance with riotous living, and he became in want, and it was not going to go back to the way that he wanted.
Right.
Talking about God's roadblocks right here. But you know what he did? It said he would have feigned himself. That means he would have been glad. He would have been happy to just eat the hog slop. He was in the hog pen, living with a bunch of stinking pigs that eat slop of leftovers, left over after week after week after week. That's what he wished I could. I would happily eat this. But you know what the Bible says? But none gave him any.
Yeah.
And he was still starving. He's like, man, what am I doing here? I could have been at home and I could have had good clothes. I could have had bread to eat. I could have had milk. I could have had peanut butter. I could have had Coke. I could have had Dr. Pepper. Praise the Lord, I could have had Mountain Dew. And if you like Kentucky, I could have L8. You guys probably don't know what that is, but it's wonderful. I'm telling you. They even got caffeine free. And he came to himself. You see, God started dealing with his heart and putting that robot. He said, what are you doing, you big dummy? You could go right back to your mom and daddy's house and eat, and everything would be just fine. But you, I know better than everybody. Finally, he came to himself and he went home and he said, Father, make me. It's a different tone in his voice than what it was give me. Whole different tone in the prodigal son's voice. Make me, not, Dad, you better make me back a son. You better give me all this stuff. He's like, Dad, I'm sorry. Would you just make me one of your hired servants? And God, Daddy, I'd be happy if you just let me work. You don't have to put me back at the position that I was in. But Daddy, if you would just, can I get a piece of bread? I'll eat less than what your servants have. I'll wear less than what they got. Dad, you don't have to do anything special for me. Would you please just make me that? Would you please? And what I fear is maybe some of you young people, you're journeying out to that far place. And you think you're doing what's right in your own eyes. But really what's happening is you're making a stinking wreck of your life. And your mama and daddy is at home and you think that they might not care. But as you're out at night and as you're doing what you want to do and as you're sleeping, your mom and daddy are looking at you and, but man, I hope that boy don't go to jail. I hope that girl don't do that. I hope they just stay straight, and I hope they straighten up their life. And I hope when that bus comes and picks them up from Fellowship Baptist Church, I hope that they listen. And I hope that God would do something in their life. And I hope that God would just turn them around and choke them out, that they might do something different than what they're doing, because it's breaking my stinking heart right now. That's what your parents are probably thinking.
Yeah.
Roadblocks. You think nobody sees what you're doing? God sees it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So when you're laughing at the preacher when he's preaching, God sees it. When you're looking at that stuff on the internet that's ungodly to look at, listen, God knows it, even when your mom and daddy don't know it. When you're out doing ungodly mess, and when you're out messing with sin that's pleasurable, but just for a season, and all seasons come to an end, guess what? Your mom and daddy might not know what you're doing, but God knows what you're doing. And he is not pleased with it. And he's letting you just partake just for five more stinking minutes on his precious earth, breathing his precious air before, guess what? If you will not repent and do what's right, he's going to take your silly self out of here. That's what's going to happen. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. He knows everything that you're saying. He knows everywhere that you're going. He knows everything that you're thinking. God knows. And one day, the Bible says, into the day that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. You got some secrets that you're harboring in your heart?
Think that nobody knows about it? God knows.
Amen.
And God's going to judge those secrets. And he's going to judge them by Jesus Christ. Second thing I see here is God is faithful to give us what we need just when we need it. And you know why he does stuff like that? Just because he's God and because he is a loving God and because he can. That's why he does it. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You want to know what God wants you to do? Won't you just be like the folks over there, and I think it's 2 Corinthians 8 or 1 Corinthians 8, and they were willing of themselves to just submit themselves and say, God, do with me what you want to do with me. My life is your life, and I want to go on your direction and your path. I want to follow the stinking yellow brick road all the way that you want me to follow. It doesn't matter what my plans are. It don't matter what my aspirations are. Listen, God, whatever you want me to do, you just help me do it, and I'll do it. I am all in this thing. And you let him direct you. That's what you can do. Think about Judges chapter 15. Turn there real quick. I promise I'll hurry. Joshua, Judges 15. I was already in Judges. I don't know what I'm looking for here. Judges 15. Samson is in this great battle with the Philistines. And there's 1,000 or more of them, and they're against him. And he's like, man, what am I going to do? It says, and when he, in verse number 14, Judges 15, 14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with the fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. God used a jawbone of a donkey to help Samson defeat 1,000 men of the Philistine army. A jawbone of a donkey. Now, there are probably 100 other weapons that I can think of that God would probably, I would say God would use, but God used a very, very unlikely thing right here to give a great victory. And he says in verse number 16, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it's almost as if Samson is reading, and he's thinking about this, he says, man, just kill 1,000 men with a jaw of a donkey. And then it came to him. I just killed 1,000 stinking men with the jaw of a donkey. Can you believe that? It's like he had this great big victory in his life. He's like, I can't believe God would do something like that. Anybody have a great victory in their life that you're like, man, I cannot believe that God would use such this right here and do this for me? Man, I'm telling you. And you know what happened right here? It says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand. And called that place Ramoth Lehi. You know what happens? We do. We get this big victory, and God uses some instrument and giving us this great big victory. You know what we're so easily, do? We just throw away. We forget what happened, and we're like, oh yeah, we're shouting the victory, and we just pitch the thing. You know, we just pitch it out, and we're like, oh yeah. But then you read on verse number 18, and he was sore thirst. And he called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. So easy, Samson forgot what happened. He was up on the mountain. Oh, yeah, God did this. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, man, God, you're great. God is so good. Oh, la, 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 la. Oh, and then he's thirsty. He's like, my God, I can't believe you're going to let me sit here and die. I'm so thirsty. God, I know that you gave me this big victory, but God, you gave me this big old victory in my life, and you made got this cancer out of my life, and you did this, or you did that, or you did this. And God, now you're going to let me thirst, die of thirst. What are you doing, God? Anybody ever done that? Oh, you're in a big victory. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then something don't go your way, and you're like, oh, God, what are you doing? I thought we was here. I thought we was going to take off through the clouds here. But then you're in verse number 19. But God. There's that but God again. Watch your butts in the Bible. But God, Clavin Hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water there out. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. And just in the nick of time, when Samson thought that all hope was gone, and when Samson thought there was no way that I'm going to be able to quench my thirst, and just about the time when I'm about to curse God because of the bad things that's happening in my life, God, he comes through.
Amen.
Yet again. We had a van. We was over there in Heartland, Missouri for a meeting, and that place is, we're in the middle of a cornfield, and there wasn't nothing around us for about 2 hours. And we were stuck in a little charismatic village at a lodge there, and we had a meeting on Sunday morning, so got there Saturday night. I walked out Sunday morning. We were 30 minutes away from the church. Get to the church, and I look outside, and our van, it's sitting like that. I mean, it's on its rim. I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? Man, I had just had a couple of churches take us on for support, and I mean, I was on the mountain. I was shouting the victory. Wow, yeah, yeah. And then I had a flat tire. What are you doing, God? You know, and I'm over there kicking the door, and I'm just telling you, hey, telling you what your missionary does here. I was kicking the door and kicking the tire, and I was arguing with God. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, we're over there. It's Father's Day. You know, my wife's over. Got the kids. She said, pray for Daddy. He's over praying, asking God. I wasn't praying. I was, God, what are you doing? Guy comes up, and he says, I put two cans of Fix-A-Flat in this tire, and it's still on the rim. This guy comes up, and I think he's being a smart aleck. He says, hey, you need help? No. Yeah, I need help. Are you kidding me? I'm not near anything. You got a flat tire? It's like that guy said, come up on you, got a flat tire. You got a flat tire? Here's your sign, you know. Saying, you probably ain't heard that in a while. Here's your sign, but that's what I wanted to do. And that guy says, man, he looks like you're in a bad mess. I said, I am in a bad way. Got a 30-minute drive to Philadelphia, Missouri, and I need to be there probably about 5 minutes ago. As I'm preaching all three services, and I really need some help. And he said, hop in my car. Hopped in his car, and we went to the little charismatic church that he attended there on the Heartland campus. And he said, I got to run in here real quick, and I'll be right back. He ran in, came out, and he pitched me his keys and said, here, take my car, and you use it all day long. Man, I didn't know that guy from Adam, man. I know him now. His name's Dave Richter. And God used Dave Richter to provide for me exactly what I needed it, just when I needed it. And I drove that man's car all day long and went to the meetings all day long. When I got back, he said, well, I hope your meetings went well. And praise the Lord. God is faithful to give us what we need just when we need it. Not only is that, he's faithful to use nobodies in his service. Man, I'm a prime candidate for that right there. I'm a 1 Corinthians 1:26-28. I'm base. I'm despised. I'm things that are rejected and all this different stuff. You're looking at him right here. Things that somebody look at me and my past and things that the way that I used to be. And they're like, man, there ain't no way God would use somebody like that. Well, guess what? He is. Praise the Lord. He's using you. And then lastly, God is faithful to provide a satisfactory payment for your sin. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You think about what Jesus Christ did. You think about how he left the glory of heaven. Can you imagine the dialogue that was probably went on? I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there, but God is, Jesus Christ, he gets up off the throne there, and he's walking over towards the door, and the angels say, what are you doing? And he says, you see that manger down there in Bethlehem? And they say, yeah, Lord. Well, I'm getting ready to become the baby that's laying in that thing. And here's what I'm going to do. While I'm down there, I'm going to live 33 and a half years of a perfect, spotless, sinless life. And I know when I go down there that I'm going to lay down my life on the cross of Calvary for their wickedness and for their ungodliness. And after they beat me within every inch of my life, I'm going to take the cross, the very instrument that I'm going to be crucified on, and I'm going to strap that sucker to my back, and then I'm going to march myself up Calvary's hill, and I'm going to willingly lay down my life on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of these ungodly reprobates. And that angel probably sitting over there looking at him like, all right then, well, go ahead. Now, we say that God died for us, and oh man, He did die for us. But what me and a man was talking about this morning down in Millbrook, Alabama, is that we say, hey, God died for us. Well, sure He did. But do you realize that when He left heaven to come down here and die, He knew exactly what was going to happen. And He still willingly came. He knew that He was going to come down to earth. And He knew that He was going to get spit upon. He knew that they was going to pluck His beard out. He knew that they were going to reject Him. He knew that He was going to lay down His life. He knew those Roman soldiers were going to beat Him. He knew that they was going to take a crown of thorns and beat it onto His head. He knew that they was going to take those big nails and nail into His hands and His feet. He knew that His lungs were going to collapse. He knew that His bones were going to be out of joint. He knew that they were going to look upon Him and mock Him and spit upon Him and gamble for His clothes and things like that. He knew all that, but yet He still came. And He still loved you. When you were unlovable, when there was nobody else in the world that would ever love you like God would love you, Jesus Christ, He loved you. Despite all the sin that you had, despite all the sin that you were going to commit, He saw you as you were and He still died for you. Why? Because He's God. Man, praise the Lord. You think about looking at Isaiah 53 and all the things that he went through, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Man, Jesus Christ, He went through it all. He went through it all for us to just flippantly just be like, I don't even care what God did for me. I'm just going to do what I want to do because I'm my own person. And I understand God died for me, but I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm me. That's what we do. That's what I did. It says that, it pleased the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's God the Father. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Now think about that for a second. God looking down on His only begotten Son, heaven's best, and He's looking down and He says, as they're beating Him, as they're mocking Him, as they're spitting upon Him, as His flesh were just is hanging in ribbons, and it was an ungodly sight, and movies can't do it justice. And He's looking down and He says, that pleases me. Now you daddies in here with children, with boys, what would you do if you gave your best to die for this church and then some folks in this church, they just walked up to them and they got the biggest, nastiest spitball they could ever do and they just, I don't want you. I'll do it my own way. That make you mad? I'd be fighting mad. I'd be ready to strangle somebody. But you know what God does? He looks down and He saw the travail of His soul. And the Bible says, He shall be satisfied. Satisfied that Jesus Christ went through all that for you and for you and for you and you and you and you and you and you and all of us in here. Sit there and watch them be beat. Beyond recognition. And He was pleased with it. Not only pleased, He was satisfied. And we spit in God's face day in and day out. And we tell Him, you know what we tell Him? I'll drive my own way. I'll do it when I'm ready. God, I don't need you. I can figure it out all on my own. And one day he's going to quit speaking to your heart. You see, you're not always guaranteed to be your heart be spoken to in any preaching. I'm not saying that preaching the idea of speaking to your heart, but listen, God speaks to your heart, you ought to respond.
Amen.
Because you never know when he'll quit speaking to you. You'll never know when you get inside of that car and you cruise on down the road right there, I-24, wherever you're going home, and somebody blindsides you and hits you.
Amen.
And you die. Guess what? It's too late. What's written is written. It's too late now. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Do you realize that young people, when the young people in our community die, and even the older folks, when folks die in our community in car accidents and stuff like that, they never woke up in that morning and believed that 30 minutes later their life would be gone. They never realized that. But that's just the reality. That's just the reality. Some of you might not have ever been saved in here, and I'll just plead with you. Boy, it'll be a good day for you to get saved. Hey, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back real soon. I'm convinced of it. Looking at the way this thing's heading, this ship is sinking. And it's sinking fast, and he's coming back. And listen, you ain't been saved, it's too late. You die in an accident tonight and you're unsaved, guess what? It's too late. So I'll plead with you to get saved tonight. And Pastor...